From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. With this program, he brings the next portion of an overview to Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Paul wrote this letter to combat a danger to the Colossian church by calling the attention of the believers to the fullness which is in Christ. His central theme is the person of Jesus Christ and the relationship which he sustains to his people. Contrary to the vain deceits and philosophy which the false teachers were trying to impose on the church, Paul argued that Christ is the all-sufficient Savior. In the course of the epistle, Paul emphasized that all of God's fullness fills Christ. He went on to remind the Colossian Christians that Christ's fullness fills his people, so that they need nothing else. In the light of that truth, Paul taught that the fullness of Christ excludes every other claimed way of spiritual life and growth. Then, Christ's fullness empowers Christians in every sphere of life. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this study of Colossians under the title, The Fullness of Christ. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Song of Confidence. The text is Psalm 138 and verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Wretched walking in the midst of trouble? Nay, blessed walking, since there is a special promise for it. Give me a promise, and what is the trouble? What doth my Lord teach me here to say? Why this, Thou wilt revive me. I shall have more life, more energy, more faith. Is it not often so that trouble revives us, like a breath of cold air when one is ready to faint? How angry are my enemies, and especially the arch enemy! Shall I stretch forth my hand and fight my foes? No. My hand is better employed in doing service for my Lord. Besides, there is no need, for my God will use his far-reaching arm, and he will deal with them far better than I could if I were to try. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He will, with his own right hand of power and wisdom, save me. And what more can I desire? Come, my heart, talk this promise over to thyself, till thou canst use it as the song of thy confidence, the solace of thy holiness. Pray to be revived thyself, and leave the rest with the Lord, who performeth all things for thee.
Joy, our hope of life eternal. cannot see tomorrow. His word is like a lamp unto my feet. And when the laughter turns to sorrow, in his embrace we find his grace. When we are
It was a number of years ago that Dr. Alan Cairns preached these messages, in which he explains the teaching of each of the New Testament books. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation, a book which tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're happy to make them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, supplies of A Sure Foundation are very limited. Be sure to request your copy today.
What's more, we're not only set free from the condemnation of the law, but we're set free from satanic dominion. Verse 15, he has spoiled principalities and powers. These people who were afflicting the church at Colossae were evidently taken up with supernatural principalities and powers. They were big in their talk about spiritual beings. Well, Paul is saying, look, you need never be under the dominion of any spiritual being because Christ has spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. He is the head of all principality and power. So the fullness of God is in Christ, and the fullness of Christ fills us and brings us every spiritual blessing, namely redemption, reconciliation, and justification, and all that flows therefrom. And then finally, the third great argument of Paul, this fullness of Christ in his people fits them entirely for life now and forever. Now here is a very, very big section of the epistle that I'm going to condense, and so I trust you'll give me your close attention. Basically, he's saying three things. Let me give you them so as you'll be able to recognize where I'm going. First, he said this fullness of Christ in his people excludes every other claimed way of spiritual life and growth. Second, it empowers Christians in every sphere of life. And third, it finally exalts them to heaven. Those are the three great things that this fullness of Christ does for his people, fitting them to live now and forever. First, it excludes every other claimed way of spiritual life and growth. In chapter 2, he speaks verses 4 to 8 of the wisdom of the flesh, and he says it's vain wisdom. But go back to chapter 1, verse 9, and he tells you that you can have real wisdom. He says, I'm praying that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You can be filled with real wisdom. The wisdom of the world is vain. Then, verse 16 and 17 of chapter 2, and then again, 21 and 22, the works of the flesh are vain. Beware of people who come with a pile of man-made rules and regulations, and they impose these on you as some sort of superior spirituality. Paul makes a big, big statement here at the end of this chapter. He says, which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. What he's saying is that ascetic observances are of no value as remedies against the flesh. When Martin Luther went into an Augustinian monastery, he went in to flagellate his body. He went in to make his body suffer. He went in to endure privation in order to burn out the lust of the old man. And he found that the old sins were worse in the monastery cell than they were in the outside world. You see, ascetic behavior, all the little do's and don'ts of men, don't actually make you any more holy. They'll make you more proud. They'll make you more pharisaical, but they will never make you more holy. Now, do not misunderstand me. There are do's and don'ts. There's a bunch of so-called Christian libertarians afflicting the church today. And they're saying, unless the Bible actually mentions it, then we can do it. We can drink alcohol. The Bible says, look not on the wine when it's red, or when it makes itself red, which is a euphemism for saying, look not on the wine when it has made itself alcoholic. That's what the Bible says. Away with all this garbage that tells you that Christians can take alcohol. God did not create alcohol any more than he created dung. I want you to get that. Dung is the excrement from the natural functions of a body. Alcohol is the excrement of a process whereby yeast consumes the sugar of the grape in order to produce the dung that you call alcohol. And unless you're willing to take dung as God's creature and say it's good to eat, you can no more take alcohol and say it's God's creature and it's good to take. But we have got churches full of people who'll do anything to fill their gut with the devil's booze. And I'm being absolutely crudely honest with you. That's not Christian liberty. That is old-fashioned carnality and sin. What about tobacco? Didn't Spurgeon smoke? Sure, Spurgeon smoked. And Spurgeon was a sinner like the rest of us. And great man that he was, he didn't know everything. What does the Bible say? Does the Bible say anything about us filling our bodies full of poison? I read that one cigarette has 19 different poisons. What about the hypocrites in the church who'll step outside to puff their tobacco weed and they get away to drink the devil's booze, and then they stand up all godly right-wing religious fanatics at the political time of year in order to tell young people they can't take marijuana? Now, I'm against young people taking marijuana. I want to tell you, you're a liar and a hypocrite if you take a cigarette in your hand and puff away at that and tell them you can't have. You're a liar and a hypocrite if you're putting down booze, which is killing more people than marijuana has ever killed. You're a liar and a hypocrite if you're taking the booze and you're telling them, don't you come here with your marijuana. Now, they ought not to have their marijuana. It's a wicked, hellish, devilish thing. I make no apology for it. But I'm simply saying that the fact that we're not to live by man-made do's and don'ts is not an argument that there are no do's and don'ts. God has set many, which are marks of true holiness. This is what Paul is telling us. The works of the flesh are vain, but there's such a thing as real victory over the flesh. Then the worship of the flesh is vain. Verse 18 to 23. Why would we want to have some mystical communion with angels? That's the curse of popery. And you'll find a bit of it coming into the so-called, well, it's not even so-called Protestant anymore. You get it into the charismatic delusion. Why would we want to have communion with angels when we can have communion with the living God through the living Christ? Look, the fullness that Christ gives his people excludes every other claimed way of spiritual life and growth. Secondly, it empowers Christians in every sphere of life. Now, here's an outline of Colossians for you. It's almost chapter by chapter. Because this little book gives us a fourfold statement of the full relationship we have with Christ. We have a full Christ, not an emaciated Christ, not an impoverished Christ, a full Christ. And we have a full relationship with that full Christ. Now, in chapter 1 of Colossians, we have Christ our hope. And there's a little phrase, the key phrase, verse 27, Christ in you. Christ in you. Is Christ your hope? Chapter 2, if you take verse 10 and verse 19, it's now you in Christ. And this time it's Christ, your head. In chapter 3, verses 1, 3, and 4, the little phrase is you with Christ. And the idea is, Christ is your life. Then the end of chapter 3 into chapter 4, 3:23 speaks of you unto or for Christ. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, Christ is your master. Christ your hope, Christ your head, Christ your life, Christ your master. This is the fourfold relationship that we have. And this is what governs the belief and the behavior of the Christian. This is what, according to chapter 1, verse 10, produces fruitfulness in the life of the Christian. When we stand in relationship to Christ our head, Christ our hope, Christ our life, Christ our master, that governs what we believe and that governs how we behave. Because, chapter 2, verse 7, we are rooted in him. Now, this will produce fruit in every sphere of life. It will give us the power to do right in every sphere of life. Take the personal life. Paul speaks of two things, your wisdom and your walk. That's your thought and your action. Wisdom emphasizes the mind and emphasizes knowledge. Back to chapter 1, verse 9, he speaks of being filled with knowledge, the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The word knowledge means a full developed spiritual knowledge. The word understanding means reflective thought. It means the ability to comprehend. Now he says, look, there's real wisdom. There's a transformation of mind for the Christian. Your mind filled with deep, true spiritual knowledge, so that you can comprehend the will of God, so that you can comprehend the things of God. He talks in chapter 2, verse 2, about the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement or to the full spiritual knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now listen, that's the wisdom you can have. Beware lest you are spoiled by philosophy and vain deceit. Don't fill your mind with the world's garbage or religion's garbage. Fill your mind with Christ. Then that will spill over into your walk. He tells us two things about our walk. Walk worthy of Christ. Chapter 1, verse 10. And then walk wisely, chapter 4, verse 5. Walk worthy of Christ. What does that mean? It means that your union with Christ should dictate how you walk. If you look at chapter 3, you'll find that if, and this is what's called the assumptive if, it's assuming if you're risen with Christ, what should you do? You seek those things which are above. You don't say, I'm risen with Christ, and you're found groveling in the slime pits of the world. If you're risen with Christ, get your eyes out of the slime pits and get your eyes into the heavenlies. Set your affections on the things that are above and not on the things of earth. Verse 5, mortify your members which are upon earth. Fornication, uncleanness, etc. You see, if you're going to let your life be reflective of your union with Christ, listen, it's summed up in two things. Put off, verse 8 of chapter 3, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, etc. Put off. And then, verse 10, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Do you notice how putting on is related to knowledge? You see, it's as you know Christ that you have the power to put off and you have the power to put on. Walk worthy of Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.